Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe/follow, logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, as well as join the Facebook group. Plus, the website has a bio about me and even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests, among other actions. We are heading to the end of the year, which means a lot of reflection on what changes might be made for 2022, either personal or business-wise, or perhaps sometimes that's even one in the same. One consideration that way might be a new website, perhaps for a new initiative, or just to replace the one that you've had for too long now. Merchantside Marketing Group is who built the website for this show. They have done award-winning websites for businesses of all shapes, sizes, and industries. They actually even did the website that I have for my online class at interviewtipscourse.com, which shows you, in comparison to CatholicSportsRadio.net, that they can do very small, simple websites or something much more elaborate. They have different packages to choose from to suit your needs. Use one of their ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to go over to their website and then get in touch to see about having them build something online for you. And, of course, let them know that you heard about them on this show. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. 30 seconds left, tie game, first down, ball at the opponent 28-yard line. If they can just do what needs to be done to get a field goal as time will expire, then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will win at the Indianapolis Colts. Never mind just, because a touchdown was even better, which is what they got in their game last month. In baseball, it's if we could just get a batter to get on base. Or in hockey, it might be if we could just kill this penalty. In the former case, wouldn't a home run be even better? And in the latter case, what about getting a shorthanded goal, though? Otherwise, these statements imply limitations in these various sporting scenarios. I hear a lot of people who pray out loud, putting limits on God, asking Him, just bless this time we have together, or just show us the way forward this evening, or just move in this problem that I'm facing. While it's tough to fathom how big our God really is, even if it's unintentional, we must shake the thought that our Heavenly Father can just do this or just do that. After all, to quote one of my favorite Bible passages, which is Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For nothing shall be impossible for God." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was an International Softball Federation certified fast pitch umpire working 7 World Cup events and the World University Games. He continues to work Division I, II, and III college softball games, including having worked the NCAA Division III World Series. Additionally, he assigned and worked in the National Pro Fast Pitch League for 12 years. He currently assigns softball for 7 college conferences and independent. He had even assigned umpires for the Rebel Spring Games, which is the longest-running spring collegiate program in the nation. He also played men's fast-pitch softball and coached summer softball teams. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Art Hill.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah, thank you, Art. I'm glad to have you on the show. I appreciate you making time. You live in Wisconsin. You lived in Chicago for more than 25 years, and you attended the University of Michigan. So where did it all actually start for you? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size growing up?
Well, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, actually, Bruce. And I had a brother and a sister, but my mother came from a very large family. They had, 6 brothers and sisters. So we had a long extended family.
Wow.
So it was interesting to do that.
Wow. Well, we will get into your conversion in a bit, but you were not born and raised Catholic, though.
No, my mother was Lutheran. My dad was Catholic, though, but my mother was Lutheran, and so we went to that venue. regularly, almost every Sunday. And then also in the summer, she would send us to the summer Bible classes that were offered. So that was how I was raised up in the Lutheran scenario as a young guy, as a young pup, as they say.
Well, in the intro, I mentioned lots and lots of involvement that you have had with umpiring in softball. When you were in, say, high school and college, were you playing any sports at all back then? And if so, which one or ones, plural?
I played the traditional ones, football, basketball, baseball. Those are the three that were most, and sometimes I would have to run track because, unfortunately, the assistant football coach was the head track coach. So if you played football, you had to run track.
Hmm. Was this all just being a young boy and participating in sports, or were there one or more sports that you really thought, hey, this is something that I may want to try to pursue as long as I can?
Football. I got an honorable mention All-State playing football. And I had, at that time, a gentleman who was on the Detroit Lions. I remember him handing me my award. He was one of the biggest people I think I ever saw. He was a tackle for Detroit Lions. His name was Brown at the time. And I really enjoyed football. Basketball, it was a lot of fun. Baseball and track, they were just, your buddies were doing it, so you went with them. But football was probably my favorite.
Yeah, and I was actually just going to ask you, who kind of influenced you sports-wise? Was it all my friends were doing it, and that's why I played? Or was it me and Dad used to throw the ball around in the yard? Or was it maybe a combination of everything I just said?
Pretty much a combination of everything. Mostly probably peer influence with your friends. What are you going to do after school? I was delivering newspapers, but that was always after practice. The games, I just loved playing the games. My parents would come and watch, and that was when you had a good play. You got rewarded almost immediately by your teammates, and obviously afterwards by your parents. So it was a rewarding experience to play football. It taught you perseverance and self-gratitude.
You served in Vietnam, and that coincided with moving on from having previously been Lutheran. How and or why did that happen?
Going back to my youth, when I was going to Lutheran church and that, but then I was involved also in Boy Scouts and Explorers. And the head scoutmaster at that time was Catholic. And every time we went on a weekend camping trip or we took a 3-month summer tour, every time we went to church, we always went to a Catholic church. Mm. So that gave me an opportunity to see the other religion. So then that led me to, when I got into the service, I was romantically going with this young lady, and she was Catholic. And I go, this is interesting. Let me pursue it further. So I went and saw the chaplain, and as we talked, I asked to be converted, and I have and still am.
Okay. Well, share with the audience what you told me in the lead-up to today as far as God's presence relative to your getting through Vietnam.
It's interesting because, everybody says, hopefully that bullet wasn't meant for me. I remember sitting on a bunker one night. I was stationed at an artillery base that was in, everybody should remember, the Happy Valley, and we were at the foot of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. It was just a clear night, stars, bright moon. You could see forever, and the valley was peaceful, and next thing I know, there was a flashing white light in front of me, and it felt like I got hit across the chest by a 2x4, and that blew me backwards.
Wow.
For your first thing is you start checking yourself. Am I missing any body parts? Am I bleeding? Mm. And fortunately, I had my flak jacket on, and it absorbed some fragments. what had happened that I found out in the morning. A mortar had hit just at the right angle of this downslope, and the concussion came up the slope, and that's what knocked me back in the very minimum amount of fragmentation. So I was extremely lucky, and as we all say, and I thank God, he saw fit at that time not to bring me home. Not that I didn't have to want to go there, but as they say, everybody wants to go to heaven, but maybe not right now.
Yeah.
That was very harrowing. And then there was another time, it's on a chew light, sitting talking with some friends that were in a caisson radar unit. And I walked away from them. It wasn't 10, 15 minutes. They got hit with a direct hit from the 122-millimeter rocket. And just absolutely vaporized everybody. If I had stayed there 10 minutes longer, I would have been part of the casualties. And as you go through these different scenarios, you keep asking yourself, who's protecting me? Why? But obviously, God has a plan for me, but I have no idea what it is. But he keeps taking care of me, and I appreciate it.
Wow. Wow. Very powerful. Very powerful. For the audience, I have previously had a current Major League Baseball umpire and a former Major League Baseball umpire on this show, episodes 73 and 61, respectively, by the way, if you want to go back and listen. And I believe I asked one or both of them about choosing to go into a profession where you know you're going to be constantly scrutinized and criticized. And so I want to have Art talk about the same thing. But first, if you heard last week's interview with current NBA referee Pat Freer, you heard me thanking the latest donor to Catholic Sports Radio, a listener who allowed me to use his name publicly to acknowledge his kind contribution. I would love it if you would consider coming alongside him and doing the same. This is a ministry for me, and it comes with some very real expenses, which I've openly specifically shared over various episodes of this show. But more importantly, I'm optimistic that you're finding value in what I'm delivering on the air each week, despite me being just a one-man operation trying to keep this all going. Hopefully this show is helping you in your faith life, and maybe even someone in your family, too, that you've shared it with, and that has brought you joy in using this show to help someone else move closer to Christ. I'm otherwise having to try to cover these expenses out of my own pocket, so please consider supporting my efforts with a one-time contribution. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have to otherwise find a way to take on my own. Instead of doing it online, electronically, by the way, through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Art, what about that? Meaning choosing to go into a role in sports where you know as an umpire you're going to be watched by everyone, players, coaches, and fans who won't hesitate to let you know what they think when they feel you've made a bad call. Is there a way, Art, that you have found to bring peace with you onto the field and maybe even reflect that so all those participants see it in you rather than someone who's looking to holler back at them?
Yeah. I worked for the FAA for so many years in air traffic control, especially at O'Hare. And everybody would ask me, isn't that very stressful? And then they found out I officiated sports. They said, how can you do that? I said, well, it's very simple. Very simple. Once you step on the field in that domain, my focus is on that sport. We always say, don't have rabbit ears. Don't worry about what's around you. Step on the field with confidence. Don't be arrogant, but be confident. Make sure you know what you're doing. There's a three-part pattern to that. You got to go out there and dress like a professional. You got to know the rules. You got to know the mechanics. But most of all, you got to know how to deal with people. That includes players and coaches and administrators. And I've always worked hard to make sure I cover all those bases, present that good image, be confident, don't be arrogant, and don't get caught in the minutiae of the people screaming in the stands. You know when you make the right call. Sometimes you don't. And you just have to own up to it and move on. Can't let it eat you.
Yeah, and for the audience, Art and I have actually known each other for a number of years, and I think it's that peaceful demeanor that you can hear in this conversation that probably went a long way towards dealing with players and coaches on the field, and them, Art, I'm sure, feeling more respect for you because they knew that when they walked up to you, it wasn't going to be antagonistic.
Yeah, you have to be approachable, you know. And I remember, I don't know, you remember, Merle Butler, who used to be UIC for ISF for many years. When I was going through the training to be an ISF umpire, he told me, he says, you know, you step on the field, people see the confidence in you, and they know that you're in charge. You know, and sometimes that's a heavy burden because you try not to overshadow your partners. You have to step back sometimes and be a support person and not be overbearing.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, let's lighten things up for a moment. You live in Green Bay, which means that you probably know and or see people who, this time of year, Sunday isn't about going to church. It's about watching the Packers. Am I right?
Well, for the people here, going to Lambeau Field is the same as going to church. No, not really. They'll get out early and go to church before they go to the games. But, yeah, it's a mausoleum. Unknown to others, as they say, you should put it on your bucket list to get here at least one time to attend a game in that stadium. It is absolutely breathtaking. Mm. I would hope you get a chance to do that, please.
Well, getting back to softball, as someone who umpired international tournaments, you got to witness some real kind gestures where teams from countries who didn't have much were blessed by the very teams who were opponents maybe an hour or 2 hours or one day earlier.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember this Junior Cup. This team came in, I think it was from Yugoslavia, and they didn't have hardly any gear. It was pretty poor. And I remember one of the local teams down in Plant City, this coach owned a sporting goods store, and he went apparently to the other American teams that were there, and they gathered bats, shoes, clothes, gloves, mitts, you name it, and basically gave them to the Yugoslavian team. It was a gesture that was, it made your eyes swell. It was so beautiful, and it was unexpected. I was blessed to be there to witness that.
Yeah, and for all the things that we hear about the great characteristics of sport itself, I'm talking about things that I have mentioned on this show, such as physical fitness, such as teamwork, such as, and the list goes on. I don't think that enough gets talked about, like the story that Art just told, because those are unfortunately not real common occurrences, but at the same time, Art, as you just attested to, they are very impactful. If for no one else than the two teams involved and people like yourself who stood by and witnessed it.
Yes, and as you know, or you may not know, when you're selected to work a world event like that, you get together as umpires, and you're expected to share something that you with the international umpires. And I always kind of kid around. I went to the Packers, and they actually gave me a whole bunch of Packers baseball hats, Wow. And I was able to distribute those to the other umpires, and they were so happy to get those. It just made my heart feel warm. But somewhere over in Europe, there's a whole bunch of people wearing Packer
hats. Well, I think those were called, correct me if I'm wrong, you might be familiar with the term, I think those were called Solidarity Gifts. I don't know if there was a more formal name to it, but you know, that's one of the wonderful barriers that sport does break down across cultures. Is it doesn't matter what country you're from, it doesn't matter what your economic status is, and the list goes on. All of those qualifications just go out the door. All it boils down to is we're going to step on the field and play some softball together.
Yes, it's because when you're working at that level, you're working with the umpires from all the other countries. And the camaraderie, we're dealing with the same mechanics, same rules, but the camaraderie is just unbelievable. I've got friends now all over the world, not just in the United States.
Okay, but let's talk instead, though, Art, about on the field, because for all the yelling from coaches, players, and fans that umpires have subjected to, have you seen plenty of great examples on the field of good sportsmanship that make kind of those arguments, for lack of a better phrase, worth it?
Yeah, and there's one that happened out on the West Coast that I think made an ESPN award. This young lady hit a home run, but when she ran around first base, she twisted her ankle and broke it. And she could not complete the home run. The opposing team, because the home team that could not assist her, but there was no rule that said the opposing team couldn't. They actually picked her up, took her to each base to touch it, all the way around second, third, and back home to complete her home run. That, to me, was just heart-wrenching. It was beautiful to see.
Yeah, if there's anyone that needs to see a visual example of good sportsmanship, that's it right there. And you're right, I think it was probably an ESPY winner. So if you look it up on YouTube, I'm sure it's out there. I just want to go back to the question about choosing to become an umpire. Can you remember the point in your career, Art, when you made that decision and knowing what you were going to be getting into, why you chose to become an umpire?
It's kind of funny. I played, I played men's fast pitch and modified, and I ended up with the rotator cuff injury. And back way back when, there was nothing good about cutting your shoulder open and fix it. So over some libations with some of my players, they say, "Hey, why don't you umpire? You're as good as those guys." And I go, "Yeah, I'll give it a whirl." And boy, was that absolutely eye-opening. Wow. I thought I knew the rules as a player. I did not know the rules.
Mm.
I thought I knew the mechanics of an umpire. I didn't know the mechanics.
Interesting.
So I got into it. Because if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And then as I got into it, I started to enjoy it. And I could, basically tune out all the other noise outside and can focus on the game, focus on the rules. I worked hard at it. As they say, every day, I would learn a new section in the rule book. We always kind of kid around and say, go to the library. Watch, where everybody goes at home and catch your library. And I would read a section a day on the rule so I could know them down pat. And I would learn the mechanics. I would talk to other people. And I remember the first time I got to do a college game, I was asked by this gentleman who was working the bases for me, and I got through and he said, "What are you? Are you the poster boy for the mechanic manual?" And I said, "Well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it right." And I found out this guy was a college assigner. He said, "Well, how about working for me?" I go, "Okay." And that just took off from there.
Wow. Well, and as you said before, probably one of the other benefits of becoming an umpire that you didn't realize you were going to enjoy was the brotherhood and the sisterhood that you were able to form with so many other people that put on the umpire uniform from different parts of the world, never mind just the U.S.
Absolutely. Every time you go to an event, you meet new people, or you meet, as I always say, I'm going to make new friends and I'm going to see my old friends. That's just how you have to approach it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful attitude. Let's close by having you share with the audience about your own family, meaning your wife and kids.
Well, we're empty nesters. Three boys and a girl. and they live around the country. They got a boy over in Marshall, Michigan, doing well, and another one down in the Gary, Indiana area. He works in Chicago. My daughter is the only one that's kind of close here. She lives up in Appleton, which is like 25 miles away from here. And then I got my other son is over in Thailand, where he does a lot of computer work, and he's opening up his own business out there. Now, between all of them, they blessed us with 13 grandchildren.
Wow.
And I always tell people, and they go, 13? I go, yeah. I always tell them, my two oldest sons believe that biblical prophecy, Bruce, go forth and multiply. And they did.
And you and your wife have been married for how many years?
39 years.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. And I love her to this pieces. Obviously, we're like every other married couple. You work at it to make it work. But I wake up every morning, and my thought process is, am I better off with her or without her? And I've never said without.
Mm. Wow. Wow. Well, God bless you and her and your family. And thank you for coming on Catholic Sports Radio, Art. I do appreciate it.
I thank you, Bruce. It was a privilege being on your radio show and also talking with you again, my friend. You guys have a great day, and God bless you, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, folks, let's close this episode with our sportsman's prayer and do it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.